Psalm chapter number 22. Please open your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 22, right in the middle of your Bibles. Psalm chapter number 22. We'll read verses 1 through 3. I'll read the first verse if you'll join me on the second, and then I'll read the third verse. But Psalm 22, verses 1 through 3. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll read responsively down through the third verse of Psalm chapter number 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, yet I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for all that you've done for us. Thank you so much for dying for us and for giving us a home in heaven. Thank you so much for all that you do. Father, we ask that you'd please bless in the service tonight, be with preacher as he's preaching, give him the words to say. I pray, Lord, that you'd please direct him in what he needs to say. And I pray that you'd please bless in the special music, help it as it's preparing our hearts for the preaching. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Appreciate it. Seeing Emily singing up here reminded me, ask you to pray again for Matt Hudson. We announced on Wednesday night that he and the children had to come home from Ukraine. He went to the doctor there for a retinal problem in his eye. And as they began to examine him, they told him that they saw something they didn't like with his heart. His heart was not right, and they did not want to attempt anything in the Ukraine. So they flew back to the States this past Tuesday, I believe it was, and he did visit a cardiologist, and he'll go back for some more tests tomorrow. And has he seen the retinal doctor, the eye doctor, the ophthalmologist yet? Tomorrow as well. Now, of course, his wife went to heaven back in May, and they made the trip back to Ukraine to resume the ministry. So it's been quite a year for Matt. Don't forget to pray, if you think about it, for him, Matt Hudson, as he is now back in the States. And I wanted to remind you about that. And then the missionary that served over in Madagascar for Ben and Ashley when they were here for furlough they're in the States to ship their container back, but she has come down with a bacterial infection in her spine. Darlene Rackley, and is on treatments now till July. And so Ben got that word yesterday, and along with a church that dropped him because they became Southern Baptist and decided they didn't want to use the King James anymore. And so, it's a crazy world out there. And but anyway, those folks I wanted to mention to you this evening. I want to speak tonight, look at verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." I want to talk for a little bit tonight on the subject, God's home away from heaven. God's home away from heaven. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the good service so far, the good music we have enjoyed, the fellowship, the fun, the laughter, the sharing of a prayer request with our people. I do pray for Brother Hudson tonight. I pray for Mrs. Rackley tonight. Lord, will you touch these two missionaries, encourage and bless them in a very special way, especially Matt, Lord, with all that you've sent him through this year. I know that your presence is still with him, but will you undergird him and strengthen him for this time, I pray. Now help me speak to our hearts. Give us clarity of thought and maybe be receptive to what the Holy Ghost would do for us tonight. And we ask it in Christ's name and amen. Have you ever thought about this question? How many different addresses have you had in your life? Think about that. I mean places where you have lived. Occasionally, you'll run across that rare person that says, you know, I was born and reared here all my life. I lived here all my life. By the time I got married, my parents moved out. We bought the house and we lived there. I was born and reared here all my days. Well, that's not common. My parents, I remember when I was born, they said we lived at Scott Circle when I was born as a baby and then just a little toddler. I remember getting lost in the woods behind the house. And they had the neighborhood people out looking for just a little guy. I don't know if I followed the dog into the woods or something. But I just barely remember that place, Scott Circle. And then we lived very briefly on Westmont. And then we lived a longer period of time on a place called West Ridge. That's where my grandmother lived, six houses down the street from us. That was a neighborhood. That was back in the days where everybody knew everybody in the neighborhood. We left our doors unlocked at night. It was a good neighborhood of folks. And I remember that. Of course, Linfield Court. And then off to Howes Anderson College. That was my residence for three. Before Howes Anderson, I lived in Tennessee there at the boys' home, and then to Howes Anderson for 3 years. And then after Joyce and I were married, we lived over in Dyer, Indiana, off of Highway 30, in an apartment building there. And Jim Belisle lived there, and Jerry Johnson and his wife, and Dave Froelich and his wife, bunch of college students and couples lived there. And then we moved to Marion Avenue. By the way, Brian, their daughter, Rachel Bridge, maybe has even delivered by this time. I talked to Brian before church tonight, and she was ready to deliver the baby. So hopefully all is well for David and Rachel. But I mean not in the church. I mean on Marion Avenue, right across from the church. We lived in a little apartment there on Marion Avenue, and then we lived on East 11th Street. And then we lived on North 3rd Street, and then we moved to here, lived on Dover Turn, and then after about 11 months there, moved out to 2250 West Road and have been there for these 21 plus years. So that's, for me, that's like a dozen different locations, a dozen different addresses that I've used in the years of my life. Some of you may be going through your mind right now thinking about if you were a military child, you probably have more addresses than you care to remember, moving all over the place. And some have more than a dozen. Some have less than a dozen. A place where that was your address, all right? It's where you lived. Now, in this psalm, we are told of one of the addresses of God. He is so big that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Small enough that he can live inside of us. And verse number 3 tells us that one of his homes away from heaven is in the praises of his people. Do you see it there? Verse number 3. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are messianic psalms. They tell us in great detail about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is called by many the Psalm of the Cross. And if you read through it, there are many direct references to the cross and the crucifixion. Look at verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a direct reference to Christ and His time on the cross. Look at verse number 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted in him. Remember how they mocked Jesus hanging on the cross there? Yeah, you delivered everybody else. Why don't you deliver yourself? Okay. A direct reference to the crucifixion. Look at verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. That happened at the crucifixion. Look at verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Out of joint, but not broken. Not broken. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my back. Every one of those verses talking a direct reference to the cross of Calvary. The Psalm of the Cross. Every one of them a direct reference to Calvary. Now listen, David was the man that God used, the Spirit of God moved upon to pen these words on paper. And this is kind of one of those dual prophecy type things. David, some of these words were descriptive of how David felt as he went through the time of being chased by Saul. And oh, he would cry out to God. And there were no doubt times that David felt that God had forsaken him. And he cried day and night to the Lord for deliverance. And he talks about that in verses 1 and 2. But in the middle of it all, he says in verse number 3, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. It's kind of an odd statement right after asking why God had forsaken him, isn't it? Kind of an odd statement right after why God, did it seem to you neglect me? And then turn right around and say, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. O God, you live in the praises of your people. I guess the lesson here, friend, is pretty clear. No matter how bad things look, no matter how bad things get, there's no bad in God. No bad in God whatsoever. Things are so bad because of sin that Jesus had to go to a cross. Things are so bad because of sin that God had to forsake His Son Jesus as He was hanging on that cross. But as bad as things got on that cross, as bad as they are, there is no bad in God, no bad in who God is. And even when I don't get the things from God that I have asked for, God is still holy and God is still right and God is still good and He is deserving to be praised. In fact, He inhabits the praises of His people. He lives there. He dwells there in the praises of His people. Now look, I don't believe this is talking about some kind of silly, insincere, repetitive phrase that comes from a lack of having something more knowledgeable to say. I'm not talking about Rex Ella Van Impey. Oh, praise Jesus, Jack. Praise Jesus, Jack. Praise Jesus, Jack. I'm not talking about that nonsense. I'm not talking about that at all. And that's so old. And some of you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. Old Jack Van Impey and Rex. I guess they still got a television program. Some people say they still watch him, and he's still got some fantastic thing that's happening in prophecy. And she's still, praise Jesus, Jack. And so, you know, it's that way. I don't mean stuff like that. That has no. I'm talking about heartfelt, sincere, thoughtful praise for and to a God who is deserving. And wait a minute. And will dwell close to those who learn to praise Him. Who learn to praise Him. If you inhabit a place, you live there. You dwell there. And God's presence dwells in the praises of His people. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines praise this way: commendation bestowed on a person for his personal virtues or worthy actions. And friend, I'll tell you, friend, there are more personal virtues and worthy actions for which God can and should be praised. You and I ought to be people who praise God. And I mean, friend, the Bible tells us that He inhabits the praises of His people. He dwells there. Now let me give you some suggestions tonight on this matter of praise. First of all, I think we need to give birth to praise. Give birth to praise. Look at Genesis chapter 29. We're going to leave Numbers now and go to Genesis chapter 29. I want to say tonight that we need to give birth to praise. Genesis chapter 29. And look all the way down at the end of the chapter to the very last verse, verse number 35. Chapter 29, book of Genesis, and verse 35. This is the first place in the Bible where the word praise is mentioned. So you got the law first mentioned here. I want you to see it in Genesis 29, 35. This is talking about Leah. And Leah's given birth to children, married there to Jacob. The Bible says, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. This is Leah. She's conceived again. She's already given birth to Reuben, already given birth to Simeon, already given birth to Levi. And then she births this fourth child. And she says, you know what? I want to give praise to God. And I'm going to name this little boy Judah. And friend, Judah means praise. That's what the name means. So Leah gave birth to praise. I want to say this tonight. I don't believe that praise is something that's going to come naturally to you and me. I don't believe we are born with a praiseful spirit and a praiseful attitude. I believe we must, like Leah, give birth to a praiseful spirit and give birth to a praiseful attitude. You know, do you ever talk about a certain aspect of your life and you say, well, that was born in my heart then, or it was born in my mind then. It had a beginning point. It had a birthing place. It had an origin. And I'm convinced that God's people need to give birth to praise. Give birth a time when a conscious decision was made. You and I need to give birth to praise. You say, well, I'm just not given to praise. I'm not one of those given to praise. Well, then you can give some birth to it. You can give birth to it. Start it. Birth it. Grow it. Cultivate it. Fertilize it. But don't miss out on the presence of God in your life by not giving birth to praise. There's something very sweet and something very precious about praising God. And friend, the honest truth of the matter is most of us have our eyes on the glass and look at it as half empty instead of half full. Most of us do that. That's nature. That's human nature. And it takes a birth. It takes giving birth to this concept of being a people that praise God. Start praising God. Commence praising God. Begin praising God. Give birth to praise. Second of all, I want to say this tonight. Not only give birth to praise, but get in the habit of praise. Get in the habit of praise. Turn over to Numbers chapter 2. We're just going to follow Judah a little bit here in the Scriptures for a moment or two. Turn to Numbers chapter 2. We're going to give birth to praise like Leah did there in Genesis 29. And then we need to get in the habit of praise as they did in Numbers chapter 2. And I'm going to talk about this for a little bit tonight. Numbers chapter 2. Now, giving birth to praise has its advantages. I've already mentioned that God inhabits the praises of His people. But did you know, friend, that praise will put you in the presence of God? So this is a dual thing. Not only will God dwell in your praise, but you dwell where God's presence is if you praise Him. Look at this right here. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Now watch this. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. Now, stop right there. In Numbers chapter 2, God is giving the order of how the children of Israel would camp around the tabernacle. Nothing is done by coincidence with God. Nothing is haphazard. Nothing is thrown to the wind in caution. Everything has its place. Everything has its order. And God said, Moses, I want you to put the different tribes of the children of Israel around the tabernacle. Now, you remember what the tabernacle was, friend. It was that tent, that mobile tent that the children of Israel carried with them through their wilderness journeys. And it was this much wide and this much long. I think it was two or three. I forget exactly how long it was. It is long. And it had an outer courtyard. Then it had the tabernacle proper that had the holy place and the holy of holies. And the outer courtyard had a fence that separated the tabernacle, the courtyard and everything, from the camp of the children of Israel. And God said, Moses, I want you to tell the tribes to camp in certain places. And he said, I want you to put three on the south side. And I want you to put three on the west side. And I want you to put three on the north side. And I want you to put three on the east side. And he said, I want you to put Judah right there, smack dab in the middle, on the east side of the tabernacle outside the courtyard. Put it right there in the middle. And over here is this tribe. And over here is this tribe. But Judah's right here on the east side of the tabernacle. Now you say, is that a coincidence? I don't believe that it is. There was only one door into the tabernacle. That door was on the east end of the courtyard. Only one entrance. Only one. Couldn't get on the north side. Couldn't get in the south side. Couldn't get in from the west. You could get in from the east. And that tabernacle was symbolic of the presence of God. The Shekinah glory of God would dwell in the Holy of Holies. And as that high priest would take the blood of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement and apply it to the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah glory of God's presence would come and dwell in that Holy of Holies. And do you see, friend, the picture here? Do you see that on that Day of Atonement, the high priest had to take his journey through the tribe of Judah? He had to walk through the tribe of praise. He could not access the presence of God without walking through the tribe of praise on his way to that courtyard and that tabernacle. Now wait a minute. Not only did that happen on the Day of Atonement, but those priests would minister in the tabernacle every day. Every day by their course and by their order, they would go into that tabernacle. They wouldn't go into the Holy of Holies, but they would go to the brazen altar, and they would go to the laver, and they would go to the holy place where the candlestick was and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. And they tended to that every day, morning and evening. Day after day after day after day, twice a day, into the tabernacle they would go, ministering to the tabernacle. That meant that every day the priest, at least twice, had to walk through the tribe of praise to access the tabernacle. And I'll tell you something, friend. If you and I want to live in the joy of the presence of God, we're going to have to put aside our complaining and our murmuring and our griping and our complaints and get our minds on how good God is and focus on that and praise Him. Because I'm going to tell you, He inhabits the praises of His people. And you will dwell in the presence of God if you will learn to praise Him. Listen, friend, even when things are bad, there is no bad in God. Praise Him. In this day and age, you and I are made priests unto God. The priest, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. And you and I need to get in the habit of walking through praise as we on our way into His presence. You say, well, Pastor, good grief, man. If it became routine with us, won't it become, if it was a habit, won't it become routine and ritualistic and will lose its preciousness? Not if we put our hearts into it. Not if we're sincere. Not if we mean it, friend, with all our being. And praise you, God. You say, well, I don't know if I have anything to praise God for. Well, listen very carefully. Did you take one of those in the last 5 or 6 seconds? A breath? I believe it's Psalms 150, verse number 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Boy, God reduces that thing down to the common denominator, doesn't He? He doesn't talk about food, doesn't talk about water, doesn't talk about house, doesn't talk about clothes, doesn't talk about job, doesn't even talk about family. If you got a breath, your nostrils can take in a breath of God's good air. And down through your circulatory, respiratory system, and you have a breath, friend, you have cause to praise the Lord. No, I don't think it needs to get routine. I don't think it needs to get ritualistic. I think God's people just need to get in the habit of praising God. And every morning and every... I don't know what you do. I don't have an extended devotional time at night. Try to read a devotion with Cherith and Joyce and have prayer together with the three of us. And right now we're going through Mrs. Oliver B. Green wrote a little book. You know what's the name of that book, babe? I'm sorry? I Will Trust. Simple little book called I Will Trust. And not Oliver B. Green, Mrs. Oliver B. Green. And I think she found it somewhere, or I had it in the library. So we've been going through that little book there at nighttime and then have prayer together. And then get ready to, whenever we go to bed, my wife and I, and we snuggle for a while. Oh, that's a joyous thing, amen. Except for the wintertime when the feet get cold, then it's not fun at all. And but anyway, so then we snuggle. Then I said, it's time to go to sleep, and we have a kiss, and I love you every night. And then when I roll over, I roll over my right side, I say to my God up in heaven, I love you, Jesus, every night. I love you, Lord. That's the last thing I want to say before I go to sleep. Try to. I love you, Lord. And I want to tell you something, friend. If you and I would just get in the habit of beginning the morning. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray in that model prayer? He said, when you begin to pray, start with our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Isn't that similar to what David said there? Oh, thou art holy. Hallowed be thy name. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm not much into Hebrew and Greek. You know that. But you read that. Take a look at that Greek word that they use for praise in the Old Testament. And it talks about the extension of the hands. What it talks about? The extension of the hands. You say, I don't believe in that stuff. Keep your hands down then at the next basketball game, the next football game. Go get your hands up in the air and clap and carry on because somebody carries a piece of pig leather across a football of a goalpost and scores some points. So if you're not for that, you're not for it. It's sports and money and anything. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Angel. Even if they do look sour at you, it's okay. Yeah. I'll just be friend. You say, well, I can't do it in public. Do it in private then. Do it in private. Lift your hands to God. Get in the habit of it, friend. You say, well, I don't know. What do you think you're going to do in heaven someday? Huh? Sit on your hands? Oh, I don't believe so, brother. I don't believe so. I think your arms will carry themselves upward when we see the Lord. You're going to get excited about the Lord Jesus. You're going to be excited about heaven. And I'm telling you, get your hands in the air every now and again and praise the Lord. Look to heaven and thank God for who He is and what He is. And get in the habit of praise. Get in the habit of praise. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. Tell Him you love Him. I think I've mentioned old Uncle Buddy Robinson, the old tongue-tied Nazarene preacher. And old Brother Shawfant, his daddy, E.O. Shawfant, Morris Shawfant, who used to drop in and visit us, he knew Uncle Buddy. And Uncle Buddy was kind of the standard bearer for the Nazarene people years ago. And kind of a peaked impediment and talked with a little bit of a tied tongue. And I heard him on tape preaching a message one time, said he was in the hospital. And he was in a room where, you know, they had a big, back in the days, and they have eight guys in the same room, you know, and eight beds and eight guys in there. And he said, the Catholic Father, okay, he said, I was laying in the bed, and the Catholic Father, he was known for his joy and his happiness and his praise. He said, the Catholic Father came in, and he started on the other side of the room, and he went to those men, and he said, looked over, and said, hey, do you have anything you need to confess? And he said, oh, I heard the most awfulest things that day in the room. As those men confessed their sin to the Holy Father, said he worked his way all the way around the room, and then he got over by my bed and he said, "Do you have anything you want to confess?" And Uncle Buddy said, "I said, put your head down here real close and get real close to my mouth." And he said, "The Holy Father put his ear right there." He said, "I want to confess that I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah!" And he said, "The Holy Father went running out the door." And he never saw him again for the rest of his hospital stay. See, when you praise God, you put the devil on the run and bring the Holy Spirit in. Bring the praise of God in habits. Amen. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Get in the habit of praising God, friend. Oh, listen. You say, well, I can't find anything in my life to praise Him for. Well, don't worry about your life. How about Him? How about Him? I mean, He's worth praising. And there's something good in God to praise Him for. Give birth to praise. Yes. And then after you give birth to praise, get in the habit of praise. It's no coincidence, friend, that God took the very symbol of His presence in the Old Testament and He put right outside the only door there, the tribe of Judah, the name that means praise. And those priests had to walk through the tribe of praise every morning and every evening on their way to the presence of God in that tabernacle. Give birth to praise in your life. If it's been a long time since you've lifted your hands and praised the Lord, give birth to praise and then get in the habit of praise. And then let me say number three tonight, go forward in praise. Go forward in praise. Now let me show you what I mean. Look at Numbers chapter 10. Let's just follow Judah. This is as far as we'll follow him. Look at Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 14. Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 14. Now you remember the how things went with the children of Israel in the wilderness, right? You remember that the children of Israel would the only time they would move was when that pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire by night or by day, whatever it was, day or night, when that pillar would lift and they would start moving. And when that pillar would lift and start moving, they would quick pack up the tabernacle, all the furniture. And by the way, everybody had a position. Everybody had a job. Everybody had a task to do. You talk about a great picture of the New Testament church. Every person had a responsibility when the tabernacle moved forward. Every one of them. Now listen, and that pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, it would move. And when it stopped, they stopped. And they'd pitch the tent. And then that pillar of cloud, pillar of fire would pick up, and then it would move again. And then they would pack it all up, and they'd move again. Now look at what he's saying here in Numbers chapter 10, verse number 14. He says, and look at verse 13. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah according to their armies. That word standard means flag. It means banner. Do you see which tribe led the way through the wilderness? The tribe of praise. The tribe of praise led the way through the wilderness. I don't want Issachar to go first. I don't want Naphtali to go first. That was the wrestling tribe. Naphtali, the tribe of wrestlers. I don't want that tribe to go first. I don't want Asher or Dan or Reuben or Gad. Levi, Simeon, I want the tribe of Judah to go first. And so when that cloud would lift or that fire pillar would lift and they started moving, the tribe of the children of Judah, the tribe of praise, would lead the way. Where were they going? They didn't know. Where would they stop? They didn't know. Lots of questions. Lots of uncertainties. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? What are they going to encounter? They didn't know. All they knew was the pillar of cloud was moving. The pillar of fire was moving. It was time to move. And praise led the way. And brother, let me tell you something. You and I will go forward if we go forward with a praiseful spirit. Pastor, where are we going as a people here in America? What's going to happen if Obama is elected in 4 more years of his administration? What is ahead for us economically? And how about individually or a family? What's ahead? What is ahead of us on our journey? Where are we headed? I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered by His blood. How does His presence go before me? I'll tell you how His presence goes before us. Praise leads the way. Praise leads the way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. All I have to do is follow. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through this old world's wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And if I want Him to be with me every step of the way, I need to give birth to praise and get in the habit of praise and go forward in praise. I don't know what 2013 holds. I have no idea where this thing will be. It's very interesting to me that gas is $1 a gallon cheaper. Be interested to see what it will be on November 10th. Very interesting, isn't it? And all this open voting and early voting nonsense is the craziest thing ever seen in your life. It's nonsense. And I'll pay my respects to the election next Sunday morning. I think it's my responsibility and my right. And I'll pay my respects to it next Sunday. But I want to tell you something, folks. I have a candidate that I hope wins. I don't have to stand another 4 years what we got going right now. It had nothing to do with the color of his skin. It had everything to do with the socialist principles. That is the biggest danger. It's the economic thing. It's the economic, no doubt about it. But I want to tell you something. This is not just good preaching. I mean this with all of my heart. I want to keep my eyes on him. And I don't know where this thing is going for me. My couple of girls that are still left at home without a husband. Those 5 grandchildren, those 2 more that will soon to be born. I don't know. I want to keep my eyes on Him. And I want to keep a spirit of praise and happiness and joy, not come some kind of silly little giddy little thing that lasts for 2 or 3 seconds because somebody said something stupid. I'm talking about a heart full of praise and happiness and joy. And friend, I want to tell you, I believe we'll go forward in praise. Go forward in praise. Hey, the children of Israel had battles. They had victories. They had defeats. Comfort and discomfort. Do you realize, friend, that David didn't just fight one giant? Do you realize he killed a giant in his youth and then he had to kill one again in his older years? Went to battle, Ishbi-Nob. Yeah. There's all kind of giants. Comfort and discomfort, ups and downs. That's what the children of Israel experienced in the wilderness. But Judah led the way. And praise leads the way. Are you underemployed? Let praise lead the way. Is it uncertain at your place of employment? Let praise lead the way. Are you unsettled? Are you uncomfortable? Friend, you'll go forward. And if you go forward in praise, and God will visit with you, and He inhabits the praises of His people, and praise puts you in His presence. Give birth to praise and get in the habit of praise and go forward in praise. This is the perfect time to do it right now. The perfect time to do it. In 37 years of being saved, there's only been 2 or 3 times when things got so thick in private time with God in my life that it was just unbelievable. I don't hear to talk about it. I may have mentioned it twice from this pulpit in 22 years. One was out in Hemet, California in a motel. I talked to Kirk Beard, her sister, her brother, Beth's brother, this week. Good man. And took a walk on a Tuesday morning. Did some exercise. And I'd already had my devotions and prayer time. And came back into the motel room. And I'm not even going to go into it. So it's so sweet. It's so precious. I didn't want to talk about it. And then one time when the college was up at McHenry. And I had to leave early. And It was about a 2-hour and 20-minute drive, 10-minute drive up to McHenry, there where the college was, and on a kind of a rainy, snowy morning in the car, all the presence of God was so thick in that car, I thought I was going to have to pull over. I remember a couple of things about those times. I remember how small I felt. I remember how little I felt, how insignificant in God's presence. And I can't remember everything, but I remember how the tears flowed down my cheeks and I didn't ask for anything. I couldn't. All I could do was praise Him. Praise Him for His goodness and praise Him for His grace. Praise Him for His love and praise Him for His mercy and praise Him for who He is and what He does and how He's been to us. And oh, just, I mean, literally caught up in an attitude of praise where God visited and I was in His presence and knew it. I don't talk about that often. If you've ever had one of those experiences, you don't say much about it either. It's just so precious, so real. It's like you could almost just reach out and touch Him. Huh? And when you get in that situation, friend, nothing comes to your mind about, can I, would you, please do this, can I have this, would you do this? You don't feel like asking anything. All you want to do is just praise Him. Praise Him. All ye little children, God is love and His home away from heaven is in the praises of His people. He inhabits it. What's your address, God? Heaven. But I'm so big it can't contain me. What's your address, God? I live in the hearts of people when they invite me in through my Son Jesus. What's your address, God? I live in the praises of my people. When my people get in the habit of praising me and sincerely thanking me, I live there. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? God's home away from heaven, the praises of His people. Let's pray together tonight. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, help the message tonight to be an encouragement and do some good in our hearts. It's a pretty rough old world we're living in right now. Our forefathers have been through it, seen times worse than this. No matter how bad things get, there's no bad in You. Help us to find a cause, a reason to praise You. Help us to give birth to praise. Help us to get in the habit of praise. And help us to go forward in these days in praise. And we know that You'll be with us. Because praise is Your home away from heaven. Help us tonight, Lord, to be people with a praiseful spirit, I ask. In Jesus' name.